morning, also through the delegation of SEPS, DPCI, also members of civil society, members of the ministry. I see also there's a commissioner of the Human Rights Commission with us. And all guests, you are very much welcome to this Portfolio Committee on Police. Honourable members, before we go into today's business, because there might be one or two changes to today's program, but maybe just to deal with the program for the rest of the week and also next week, just to indicate to members that tomorrow we're going to adopt a few minutes and reports from 9 o'clock. And then at 10:30, we're going to engage with the Acting National Commissioner on the vetting status of the Head of Crime Intelligence. And we've also invited the Head of Counter to attend that meeting so that we can deal with that issue in the committee. The second issue is, members, during our visit to KZN, we received a briefing from the Acting Head of the DPCR, General Matakata, about the challenges they experience with regard to ensuring that there's proper security at the head office and also in terms of procurement issues. So we felt it's important, flowing from that visit, that the CFO of SEPS must come to this committee tomorrow after the briefing from the Acting National Commissioner to indicate to us what are the issues. Because we can't have a situation where there's been a break-in, there's serious issues with regard to the replacement of equipment, cell phones, and there is, you know, issues with regard to procurement that is not given the necessary attention, and there's no seriousness. So we need tomorrow answers on that issue, because it's a very important issue for the committee, because we're very concerned. We can't have a situation where the head office of our number one law enforcement agency dealing with organized crime is not secure, and there must be sufficient measures in place, and if there's problems with procurement, it must be handled immediately. So we need answers tomorrow from SEPS with regard to that. Honourable members, then next week, of course, we will also have a Tuesday-Wednesday meeting. Tuesday, CIRA and the emerging companies of the private security industry on the status governance on private security provident fund. Then Wednesday the 23rd, we will have a briefing by the South African Police Service and CIRA on the first quarterly reports for the 2017-18 financial year. And then currently at this stage, Friday 25 August 2017, a joint meeting of the PC on Police and the PC on Mineral and Mining on the DPCI investigations on illegal mining. And then, of course, the turnaround strategy for the CFR and gun owners and gun-free South Africa will come to us on Tuesday the 29th. Of August. And then there's, of course, the joint meeting with finance on illicit financial flows, and that will be on Wednesday the 30th of August. So I just wanted to highlight those indications to honourable members. Members, then, just before I deal with today, just a few matters in the public domain I just want to deal with. In the first instance, I want to congratulate the special units of the South African Police Service in KZN, ORTS, for the handling of the transit robberies yesterday in Hillcrest under very difficult circumstances. And they were able to handle that professionally, and no members of the SAPS was injured or killed. And I want to also recognize the acting provincial commissioner from KZN. Thank you for coming. I think that was one of the maybe observations from our visit in KZN. There's one very important issue that we picked up. The specialized units of SAPS, TRT, POPS and the National Intervention Unit. They are very professional, well prepared, and I must say also their presentations was of a very high quality during our visit. So that is one thing we must really put to the fore. We want to thank those members for their difficult work that they do during this situation. Then just to note that since our visit to KZN, there were further two deaths at Lieblands Hostel, but we're looking forward also to a follow-up presentation from KZN on that matter in a few next weeks, but I just want to re-emphasize the commitment that we had from the police in KZN that there will be a satellite police station established there as soon as the Tukwini municipality can indicate the proper space but then also the inclusion of 5 more members for the specialized task team of the Umlazi Police Station, and then also importantly more support to the CI unit crime intelligence footprint in the area. It's quite critical that they have the necessary support. We will be monitoring that from the portfolio committee side quite closely in the next few weeks. Then we have noted that the head of legal services in the Northern Cape was appeared in court on counts of corruption. And it's important that SAPS, if there's anything that is improper, they must deal with it. So we welcome also the leadership there from the Northern Cape SAPS, that if there's problems, they deal immediately with it, and that the bad apples can be dealt with. But we one of the topics today is the issue of gangs and how we deal with it. But there was also a report last night about a sergeant in the Eastern Cape who borrowed his vehicle, apparently, allegedly, to gangs, and also socially interacting with them. So the issue, again, of vetting of SAPS members, even at lower level, becomes so important. And it's just, I think, a further illustration of the committee's view on this. Unless we deal with the issue of vetting seriously, we're not going to root out police corruption. So it's critical in those areas that we deal with that. Then we also had high-profile cases this last week of attacks and violence on women in the country. And I just want to say a few things about that. The SAPS must act without favor or fear with regard to that. There must be no preferential treatment. Confidence in the system should not be eroded, even by perception, that some are more equal than others. And domestic violence and attack on women is a scourge that must be dealt with head on. And we welcome also the strong words from the Minister of Police in this regard, and we welcome also his action and assurances that matters with regard to high profile cases will be dealt with properly. So that is my introduction. Then, members, we've got two topics on the table today. The one is a briefing by the management of SAPS on the anti-gang strategy from the various provinces, Western Cape, KZN and Eastern Cape, and then a briefing by the DPCI on the unit illegal firearms. But honourable members, we've got a dilemma. We've got a 7-day rule in terms of presentations. Now, yesterday, we only received the presentation of SAPS on the anti-gang strategy, only yesterday. Now, it's impossible for a portfolio committee to properly prepare, evaluate the presentation, and also the researchers to look at it without receiving it within the 7-day period. That is critical. I don't want to comment at this stage on the quality of the presentation or the merits. That's another discussion. But it's unacceptable. We need that presentation 7 days before the time. And I mean, maybe the Deputy National Commissioners present can maybe indicate what is the problem. So we're not going to hear that presentation today. They will have to go back, and we'll come up with an alternative date. And the Acting National Commissioner also will have to indicate to us tomorrow what is the problem. What is the problem? We had Acting National Commissioners previously. We didn't have any problems with 7 days. Presentations were made available on time. They know the rules. So that's the first issue. The second issue is we're going to the DPCI. They presented their presentation well in time. We received it already when we were in KZN, so we're going to go ahead with that presentation. So thank you for keeping to the guidelines of the committee. I'm going to now ask the members to introduce themselves, and then we'll ask the delegation of the DPCI to introduce themselves. Honourable members.
Good morning. I'm Jerome Marke, a member of this committee.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Phindile Mola, a member of this portfolio committee. Thank you.
Dumelang bagaetsho, leina la ka ke nna NG Molebatsi, ke leloko la komiti e, ke a leboga.
Matshelone, ndi Mabitsa Lebowane, member wa NI Committee ya Sepolesa. Ndi livhuwa.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning. I'm Zakhele Mbele, member of the committee.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Dennis Ryder, newly sworn in Member of Parliament and here as an observer of the committee this morning.
Well, good morning. My name is Philip Mjong, a member of the committee.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, colleagues. My name is A.M. Sheikh Imam and a member of this committee.
If we can just first hear from General Kruger, the dilemma with the first presentation.
Thanks, and good morning, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. The problem with the first presentation, Honourable Chair and Members, is that the presentation, we receive it quite a bit. We receive the request late. Well, on the other side, I should blame not anybody but us, because we were more in and out of office. So the blame falls squarely within ourselves, because at some point, I thought General Kruger was tasked with it, and to find that no, it was, he also expected same. So by the time we clarify as to who's doing it, it was late. So I do take full responsibility for it, that it came quite late. Of course, the provinces also, they were in and out, and by the time the provincial commissioners consolidate and we get the presentation, it was late, Mr. Chairperson. So we do take full responsibility for it. We are sorry for it. We apologize. We know the 7-day rule, and it just so happened, and we are looking for that it don't happen again. We hope that the apology is accepted. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thanks, General. I'll give members if there's questions, but General, the one issue I can't agree with, this program of the committee has been made available, I think, some time ago, and the topics are well known. It's even on the Z list of Parliament for quite some time, so it can't be a proper excuse. Honourable Mulabatsi.
Thank you, Chair. Whilst we hear what the General is saying, my question is, when is late? When is late? Because General Masomula keeps on saying late, late, late. When is late? And when is not late?
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. Somewhere last week, I think it was Thursday, that's when we became aware of it. But as I say, we don't blame anybody. The blame is within our subs. We're going up and down more operationally, and for some reason, yes, it happened to fall within the cracks. So we take full responsibility for that, Honourable Members and Chairperson.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I will agree with you that we are not going to take the presentation, especially looking at the matter at hand. Well, it deals with transparency, which is a scourge in this country. If I was to give an example, when we were at Charleswood, it's very clear that the police there know very well who are the people. They know them by name, but they're not arrested. So we needed to sleep on this and as the committee and go through it so that we can be able to evaluate and maybe be in a position to question and so on and so on. So I think maybe in the meantime when they go back, Chairperson, you need to look into the quality of the report itself. Thank you, Chairperson.
Other members, Honourable Mamuche.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. First of all, My understanding of unconditional apology is no ifs and buts in between. And I'm concerned when General says, you know, he thought General Kruse was responsible and then himself, and then it may have come late and things. So for me, that's not very unconditional. However, my major concern, Chair, is the cost implications. You know, when SAPS is here today and we're not able to conduct as a result of them not providing the stuff timeously. And for me, that is not acceptable because it's a waste of taxpayers' money. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Mula and then Honourable Mbele. Sorry.
Thank you, Chairperson. I understand all the sources, the lateness, blah, blah, blah. But here, we have time frames to, in order to do our work properly. And we do not want to do things haphazardly. Therefore, I'm appealing to you, Chairperson, because we are not going to take this report today. We need not, it is not necessary to waste time deliberating on this issue, because we are saying they must go back. They are sorry, it's okay. Then our sending them back will make them be careful next time. So let's not waste time. They recuse themselves so that we continue with the other item. Thank you.
For that proposal on Bela, you will be the last.
Thanks, Chair. Just a very brief comment to say that I think this reflects a concern we often express about at least parts of the SAPS not having the basics of the systems correctly in place. One would assume that if senior management has the committee program well ahead of time, somebody in an admin capacity flags that this theme is on this date, a week before it must go out, therefore we must prep the draft 3 days before that, and you work backwards from that. I don't think it's acceptable to say that operational busyness got in the way of what should be a routine administrative office function. I highly doubt that General Masemola himself drafts the PowerPoints. There must be somebody lower down who does that, and that can happen without, regardless of the operational business of the generals. They would simply sign off and approve what somebody else has prepared, and the timelines are well known ahead of time, but hopefully we can learn from this and in future not have the same hiccups.
Mula, you will be the last. Professor, you want to...
Thank you, Chairperson. General, the apology is accepted. But, Chairperson, when you look at this, it shows us that they are not responsible. They are irresponsible. Because now they are blaming the province, General Kruse, who's responsible? Which means they are irresponsible, Chairperson. They must go back.
Right, members, is that that? Right, thank you. Yeah, I mean, the topic is a critical topic. For instance, yesterday we received a report just on the issue of gangs that in the Western Cape from the Red Cross Children's Hospital, there's a 70% increase in gunshot wounds to minor children since last year. So it's a big issue. It's a complex issue. And therefore, it must be a priority of SAPS, but we will have that briefing as soon as possible. Right, let's then ask the DPCI to introduce themselves.
Chairperson, Chair, so are we excused?
Yes.
All right, thanks.
All right, DPCI, who's the leader of the delegation? Yes, Major General, you're welcome.
Thanks so much, Honourable Chairperson. The delegation, I also just need to forward the apologies of both General Matakata and General Ledwaba. They're both abroad, so I'm leading the team. The team that is representing the DPCI is Brigadier Katwa, Brigadier Matthews, and Colonel Van Yeden. These are the operatives that are operating in that space.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I just want to know from the researchers, content advisor, any briefing? Nothing. Okay. Right, let's go over to DPCI. General Cruiser.
Thanks, Chair. I'll stay with him because Emma is involved in setting up, helping them set up the new task teams around the firearms.
You're welcome. We even will offer you tea. You're welcome. All right, General Major, you can.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Brigadier Kadwa currently is the acting section commander of this newly established unit. So if there's anything that needs to be added, you should feel free to do that. Honorable members and honorable chairperson, the objective of the presentation is to reflect on the progress in terms of the establishment of the specialized units. I will give an introduction, some background, the focus areas, the temporary capacity, the proposed capacity, the successes, the current developments, and then the way forward. As I indicated, we will report on the progress since the establishment of the two specialized units, namely the National Bureau for Illegal Firearms Control, and then Priority Violent Crimes. In terms of background, during the State of the Nation address in 2016, the State President of the Republic of South Africa, Honorable Jacob Zuma, pronounced the establishment of the two specialized units within the Directorate for Priority Crime Investigation to investigate national priority offenses related to drugs and the proliferation of illegal firearms. Our focus areas, the following focus areas were identified for the units to enhance the fight against drugs and proliferation of illegal firearms. So for this session, we will look at the proliferation of illegal firearms. That will be the focus. In terms of how we arrived at these focus areas, it was based on the firearm assessments and also major investigations. That is where we drew these focus areas from. So it's informed by both the assessment and major investigations. In terms of the focus areas, it's criminal linkages through forensic practices. Here we're looking at firearms connected or linked to arrest by during DPCI operations and based on those cases. Second one is illegal firearm trafficking and networks. Thirdly, the criminal abuse and vulnerability of firearms in state control. Here we're looking specifically at SAP-13s and armories. Then criminality in the control of illegal firearms. Here we look at firearm dealers, and then targeting police killings. And the last is prioritized violent crimes where firearms are used. So those are the areas that the two units are focusing on. Then in terms of the interim capacity, Honorable Chair, I just also want to indicate that at the time this the presentation was forwarded to you, those numbers are correct, but in the period between then and now, they have been further capacitated. So I will give you the numbers here, but also how those entities were further capacitated. In terms of the National Bureau of Illegal Firearms Control and Priority Crimes, in terms of provinces, Eastern Cape at that time had 19, and that figure still remain. Free State at 18, that also still is still the total of members. Then with regard to Gauteng, Gauteng had 55. Gauteng is standing presently at 67, so there was an increase. I will also indicate, how the members were divided up. Just to go back to Eastern Cape, Eastern Cape was 19. Five are commissioned officers and 14 are non-commissioned officers. In terms of Free State, with 18, four are commissioned officers and 14 are non-commissioned officers. Those are the people that are actually carrying out the responsibility. But we'll also find that amongst the commissioned officers, there are officers that are also engaged in investigations. With regard to Gauteng, we have 10 commissioned officers and 57 non-commissioned officers. In terms of KwaZulu-Natal, KwaZulu at the time of submitting our presentation, they were standing at 11, they are currently at 40. In terms of KZN, there's 12 commissioned officers and there's 28 non-commissioned officers. In terms of Limpopo, at the time that we sent the report or the presentation, they were standing at 4. They are presently standing at 14. In terms of Mpumalanga, there are two in Limpopo. There are two commissioned officers and there are 12 non-commissioned officers. Mpumalanga, it's at 11. It's still at 11. In terms of the spread, it is 3 commissioned officers and 8 non-commissioned officers. With regard to North
Sorry, General, Honorable Mula.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm confused here because they sent us this presentation and now they are saying was Limpopo is 4. And now they are telling us it's 14. Why they didn't send us the correction?
Yeah, remember the general said that they have, made additions since the presentation was sent 2 weeks ago. So it's fine. Let's get those on the record. No, but that's fine. It's fine.
Thank you. In terms of Northwest has 11. It wasn't further capacitated. And the commissioned officers are 2, and the non-commissioned officers are 9. In terms of Northern Cape, 7, and Northern Cape still remains at 7. Western Cape, there are 2 officers and 5. Sorry for that. Then, in terms of Western Cape, as 12, and then they got 14 non-commissioned officers, and they've got a total of 26. So the total number of personnel within these two units was at 162, but it's currently at 178, an increase of 16, cumulatively speaking. Now we're going to the proposed capacity, the structure. We have a structure that, the person or the officer leading that will be a component head. As I indicate, and then it will be, have a section head, a brigadier. The component will be a major general. The section head is a brigadier. At the moment, Brigadier Kadwa, as I indicated, are the acting section head. Then we have this section commander, three section commanders at colonel level. And then you have the section commanders and a deputy director for firearms, priority, violent crimes, and international vehicle investigations. But that we don't have in place as yet. We are only focusing and growing and developing those two components. We are not. We don't have that particular capacity within the internal, international vehicle investigation. People have been identified and people are operating in that space. I just also need to indicate that in terms of the implementation, the unions had a concern and that had a problem with regard to the implementation of the structure, because they indicated that they were not consulted, and therefore we couldn't advertise posts. So these posts, committee must also perhaps take cognizance of that these posts are present people that are within the DPCI space that we had to take out of certain capacities so that we can capacitate that. So once we have reached agreement with labor, then we are able to fully capacitate this particular units. And also get certain expertise into this particular unit. Currently, we are taking from existing units to complement this. So I just want to bring this to the attention of the committee. Then with regard to national successes, this is for the period 1st of March 2016 to 31st of March 2017, arrest and firearm recoveries. So I'll go as per province. In terms of firearms and explosives, in the Eastern Cape, the response to this particular threat, the response of Eastern Cape, firearms recovered were 25, ammunition recovered was 223, arrests were 24, no convictions, and then when we look at priority violent crimes in terms of their successes, the arrests were 163 and convictions were 35. Free State's response of the establishment of the unit, firearms recovery was 1,497, and then head office 2, which brings us to a total of 1,499. So there was also collaboration between head office and the specific province. In this case, it was Free State. Ammunition recovered was 42,881. Arrests were 11. Head office 3 and Free State 11, which brings the total to 14. Convictions were 7. Priority violent crime, their successes, arrests 68, convictions 34. Now we can speak to Gauteng in terms of how Gauteng responded. Firearms recovered was 14, head office 105, and the total was 119. Ammunition recovered was 234, head office 859, total was 1,093. The arrests, head office 6, arrest for Gauteng was 9, head office contributed 6, and the total is 15. Convictions, 1, in terms of Gauteng, and then head office 2, which brings the total to three for convictions in Gauteng. With regard to priority violent crime successes, the arrests were 21 and convictions were 3 from Gauteng and 1 from head office. Brings it to a total of 4 convictions. With regard to KZN, in terms of their response, firearms recovered was 285, of which head office were at 2, and the total for firearms recovered was 287. Ammunition recovered was 17,307, contributed by KZN. Head office contributed 15. The total is 17,322. The arrests, 39 from KZN and then head office 1, which brings it to a total of 40. One conviction. With regard to priority violent crime successes, 33 arrests from KZN and head office 1, a total of 34. The convictions of 3. Limpopo, in terms of their response, firearms recovered was 2, ammunition recovered was 0. Arrests was 2, convictions 1, and in terms of priority violent crimes, arrests 0 and convictions 0 as well. Mpumalanga's response, in terms of firearms recovered, it was 12, head office contributed 1, and the total is 13. Ammunition recovered was 139. Arrests were 18, I beg your pardon, and then convictions is 0. Priority violent crime successes, arrests 41, head office contributed 2, and the total is 43. Convictions for the province of Mpumalanga was 0, head office contributed 1, so the total is 1. Northern Cape response, firearms recovered was 0, ammunition recovered was 0, arrests 0, conviction 0. Priority violent crime successes was 7 and conviction was 0. That is Northern Cape. Northwest response, firearms recovered was 14, head office 1, the total is 15. Ammunition recovered was 263, head office 10, and the total is 273. Arrests were 15, convictions were 2. Priority violent crime successes, the arrests were 77, head office 4, total is 81, and one conviction. The response of the Western Cape, firearms recovered was 20, ammunition recovered was 53, arrests 26, convictions 3, priority violent crime successes, the arrests were 27 and convictions were 7. This brings us to the total, the national response in terms of cumulatively speaking. Firearms recovered was 1,869. Head office contributed 111. The total is 1,980. Ammunition recovered was 61,100. Head office 184, the total is 61,984. The arrests, all the provinces cumulatively is 144, head office contributed 10 and the total is 154. convictions 14. 8 of us contributed 2, and the total is 16. Priority violent crime successes, arrests were 437. 8 of us contributed 7, and the total is 444. The convictions were 83. 8 of us contributed 2, and the total is 85. National successes, this is for March 2016 to 31st of March 2017. The number of arrests is 598. This is combined now of the two units. Convictions were 101. Firearms was 1,980. The firearms consists of assault rifles, pistols, revolvers, rifles, and shotguns. Ammunition was 61,984. Now we're just going to look at the national successes for the quarter, for the first quarter. That is April 1st of April 2017 to the 30th of June 2017. That's a period of review. Firearms recovered was, in terms of Eastern Cape, firearms recovered was 7, ammunition recovered was 8, arrests 0, convictions 2. Priority violent crime successes, arrests 17 and convictions 12. Free State?
Sorry. Okay, just a point of clarity.
You're welcome.
I don't understand this when we say there's no arrest but there's convictions.
I can be assisted, but it could be that there was no arrest during that particular period, but the convictions happened in that particular period.
But then, Chair, if that is the case, then it's not a true reflection of what you're giving us. Clearly not a true reflection. Because our understanding is this, that, you know, based on the arrest, you're having convictions. But now if you say that you've waited on it, but the convictions are from a previous time, so it's not really giving us
picture of exactly what has happened. Right, to the question of
Honourable. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. Just to explain, Honorable Chairperson and Members. So basically how convictions will work, convictions cannot be controlled within a specific financial year. So investigations that the Bureau would have been doing, certain of those investigations, the actual convictions would be done in this financial year. So it is not something that can just be confined and displayed for a specific financial year. So since the inception of the Bureau, there would be cases that we would be investigating, and then these cases that were trial ready, were subject to being prosecuted, would be done in this financial year. So we have to also reflect what were the convictions that we achieved from the inception of the Bureau and other cases that are held by the Hawks, specifically relating to firearms and priority violent crimes. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you for the response. Follow-up on M.
Sorry, Chair. I understand that. I'm mindful of that. However, would you agree with me that it's not giving us a true reflection? Because our understanding is this, that when you say you've made so many arrests, we want to know out of those arrests how many convictions you've got as well. Because what you're giving us statistics from previously doesn't actually help us to look at the actual progress between arrests and conviction, and that's what we are very much interested in. Thank you.
Follow-up also, Honorable Groenewald.
Thank you, Chair. It's acceptable, but then they must give us a separate report on that. Let me know how many previous cases has been brought over to the next financial year and how many convictions.
Right, so we'll have also have to get that. But please go ahead with the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. We will do that. We will do separate it so that it reflects the true reality of what has been done. Thank you for that. We'll comply with that. With regard to Free State, for this court under review, firearms recovered was 1, ammunition recovered was 0, arrests 2, and convictions 2. With priority violent crime successes, arrests 1 and convictions 1. Gauteng, firearms recovered was 4, ammunition recovered was 54, head office contributed 87, and the total is 141. Arrests, no arrests, 0 there, and with regard to Gauteng, convictions 0, but head office contributed 1. Which gives us a total of 1. Priority violent crime successes was arrests were 4 and convictions 0. KwaZulu-Natal, firearms recovered was 15, ammunition recovered was 303, arrests 21, convictions 8. Priority violent crime successes arrests 0 and convictions 11. Limpopo, firearms recovered were 2, ammunition recovered was 0, arrests 2, convictions 0, priority violent crime successes, arrests 0, and convictions 0. Mpumalanga, in terms of firearms recovered was 3, ammunition recovered was 26, arrests 8, convictions 5. Priority violent crime successes, arrests 11, convictions 8. Northern Cape, firearms recovered 0, ammunition recovered 0, arrests 0, convictions 0. Priority violent crime successes 0 in terms of arrest and 0 in terms of convictions. Northwest, firearms recovered 2, ammunition recovered 140, arrests 3, convictions 1. Priority violent crime successes, arrests 0, convictions 0. Western Cape, firearms recovered 0, ammunition recovered 0, arrests 0, convictions 0. Priority violent crime successes, arrests 0, convictions 2.
You say that in 3 months in the Western Cape there was no recovered any illegal firearms.
That is what is reflected, General. So it means that there were no.
No, that's a major problem. But we will come to the questions.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. In terms of totals for the country, nationally speaking, firearms recovered for the quarter was 34. Thus far, 531 by the provinces and 87 for head office, which gives us a total of 618. Arrests were 36. Convictions for provinces were 18. Head office 1, brings us a total of 19. Priority crime, violent crime successes, arrests 33 and convictions 34. For the quarter, for the period 1 April 2017 to 30 June 2017, this is accumulatively now firearm control and priority violent crimes. Number of arrests was 69, convictions were 53, firearms, we were also instructed by the committee to look at firearms and the type of firearms that are being used, and we are starting to provide that breakdown for the committee so that one can understand what is happening and what caliber of firearms are being used during violent crimes. So it's 32, 6 assault rifles, 23 pistols, 1 revolver and 2 rifles. Ammunition for the quarter was 618. Current development within this environment. After consultation between the acting National Commissioner, Lieutenant General Motiba, and other role players, command and control of the National Firearm Task Team was officially transferred from the division from the Divisional Commissioner, Detective Services, to the acting National Head of the Directorate for Priority Crime Investigation on the 10th of July 2017. The DPCI is in the process of developing a national joint action plan to operationalize and properly capacitate these units as part of the SAP's national firearms strategy. In terms of the way forward, in terms of our permanent structure, the DPCI approved structure. It is in the process of being implemented, and as I indicated, there is a challenge. The union, the labor, has indicated that they need to be consulted before we can implement, the structure. So that is in the process of being done to so that we can just get the process officially, implemented with proper staffing of these units. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
That's the presentation. Nothing else? Right, members, we will now go to questions. The first two from my side, and I will then follow the names. I just want to get an indication. Is this UNIS now up and running, or are you still in consultation? What is exactly the position? Because you've also indicated there's still consultation on the way. So if we can just get a response to that. Then the second issue from my side, on the Western Cape, you've indicated that successes, but it can't be successes, it may be progress or 0-0 for 3 months. Now, I mean, historically, the issues from the CFR, the Colonel Prinsloo guns that was in circulation, apparently there was 2,000 and about 1,200 must still be searched and confiscated. I mean, they're still outstanding. So I just want to know what is happening in the Western Cape from this unit's perspective. Is there a plan in place? Who's dealing with it? Right, let's go with Honorable Mula.
And thank you for your presentation. In slide 15, you said that the DPCI is in the process of developing a national joint action plan. Can you please provide us with a time frame? My second question is in slide 9. In KZN, you said you recovered 285 firearms, ammunition recovered 17,307, arrest 39, convictions 1. In CBC, success is 33 arrests and 3 conviction. What happened about the other arrests? Because conviction is only 3. Are these cases under investigation or withdrawn or what? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Molebatsi. I'll recognize you.
Thanks, Chairperson. My first question is, tell us about the National Firearms Strategy. My second one is, you see, I'm from Gauteng, where things are happening. The criminals in Gauteng are even boasting of buying firearms for 50 rand. 50 rand. And here, you speak of, from March 2016, to March 2017, you speak of only 14 firearms recovered. Can you explain what's happening really here? I say I'm from Gauteng, and I know our firearms are just running all over. My next question is, what is the reason for your low or non-conviction on page 8? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Malabachi. Honourable Mabija.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, I would like to indicate that on page 8, on page 6, I'm going to concentrate on the numbers before me, not the invisible numbers you are claiming. So I see Limpopo, you have deployed 4 and Northern Cape 7. And when I go to page 8, from Limpopo, I'm from Limpopo. I don't understand why we have only 2 firearms and 2 arrests. The rest of the things is 000. Are we in Limpopo innocent enough to can have all these 000s? Or maybe your staff is incompetent to this to do their job? I don't. If you can put me on an understanding why we have the 00 in Limpopo and only 2 arrests and convictions. Same applies to Northern Cape. Northern Cape is worse, is 0000 and 7 arrests. 7 arrests matching the 7 deployments, it means all those 7 deployed staff there, each of them managed to get 1. That's why it's 7 and 7 on the other page. Please make me understand precisely what is it that is taking place in Limpopo and Northern Province and Northern Cape. I'm lost. I should think there's something wrong with your report here. I don't understand. Make me understand, please, so that I'm able to assess the Limpopo process where I come from on real things.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Bailey.
Thank you, Chair. I've got 2 or 3 questions. My first 2 relate to slide 6, the figures on the interim capacity. Just a quick point is that I think there does need to be just a double checking and a proof reading of these figures, because the totals I arrived at, both on the old figures from 2 weeks ago and the updated ones, are not the ones in the table there. I added up 148 as being the old figures and 199 as being the new ones, but I stand to correction there. But the key points or the key question from the slide is, I note that the KwaZulu-Natal breakdown between the commissioned and the non-commissioned officers seems to be significantly more top-heavy than the other provinces, where almost half of the total staff complement in KZN, 12 commissioned it's 12 commissioned to 28 non-commissioned, whereas in many other provinces you've got a much smaller figure for the commissioned to the non-commissioned. Can I just get an understanding of what the reasons for that seeming deviation from the other ratios in the other provinces seems to be the case? You know, why do we need so many more brigadiers, generals, etc., as part of the KZN picture? And then can I just ask, as a global picture,
what is the fixed establishment for the illegal firearms control units, and what is the current total number of vacancies? Because I would assume that the current vacancies plus the capacity figures given here would then equal the fixed establishments. But just to get a sense of that, please. And then my, I guess, third question is, there's mention of the National Firearms Task Team being transferred from Detective Services to the DPCI. Does it still remain intact within the DPCI, or were those members absorbed into the Bureau for Illegal Firearms Control? And if it does remain separate and intact, what are the reasons for not absorbing them into the units, assuming that the operational objectives and so on are the same? If they're not, what's the distinction between those two? Thanks, Chair.
A new member? Thank you, Chair. Yeah, thank you for the presentation, and I think we all support you, and we welcome the work that you are doing. So congratulations on getting the unit up and running. I think it's important for me, please, just to understand, when looking at these numbers, when was the unit officially established? Because are we dealing with numbers that relate to arrests that happened before the unit was established, which may give an indication as to why some of the numbers are fairly low in terms of arrests? Or are we dealing with stuff that has happened under the auspices of your new department? And then perhaps just further questions about the disparities between the number of arrests and the number of convictions. Obviously, the number of convictions is quite low. Is that largely as a result of perhaps a lack of training of members, people arrested and incorrect processes followed or evidence gathered? Or is it an indictment on the slow justice process, justice system that's taking place? So perhaps what I'm asking for is a comment, if not some further information on... you know, what is the time from a crime being committed to an arrest to a conviction? And those convictions that fail, what are the reasons for those? Is it gaps in the system? Is it poor evidence that's being gathered? Where are the shortcomings coming through? Because I think the generally accepted principle amongst the public is that too many people are getting away with murder, literally. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honourable Mushlongu.
No, thank you, Chairperson. You know, we are talking about the temporal capacity of this organization. I'm worried about the structure because through the effective structure, then one is able to talk of the output derived from the structure. Because even if I tend to look according to the breakdown per provinces, to me it would seem that there appears not to be an effective capacity, particularly if you look at conviction rate per province, in most of the provinces. Now, how effective? Now, in terms of you finalizing that or moving away from temporal structure, because the very same meaning that the structure is temporal might have, to me, might have a negative psychological effect on members that are manning those organs in those respective fields. How long do you think it will take you to actually then put a permanent structure in this particular organization? And you spoke of consultations ongoing consultations with labor. Now, you know, I was just a bit perturbed because to me, the employer has got a leeway to say, this is what we want done. As long as then the labor will only move in if and only if, for example, there are certain material benefits that are affected and all that, that needs to be negotiated. But is the labor going to be involved in the material aspects of the putting in place of the final structure? Because if it is so, I think we can go for years without a structure being effectively put in place. People actually then fighting for position and all that. And I think I have actually then observed that somewhere in KZN, people being moved around and all that for various nefarious reasons, but I don't want to get into that. Now, but by when do you think you can actually have a permanent structure that will actually then be well connected to the chain of command nationally and all that, so that we can have that effective kind of command and control? Now, then lastly, I was looking at it, I think Honorable Mbele is somehow correct. You know, I know that somehow there has been, because KZN is very close, it's on the borderline with Mozambique. And I know that there has been some initiatives in the past, which I don't know whether they are still continuing, of actually then dealing with Mozambique being the source and or disposing those arms caches that were lying idle there during the era of war in that particular sister country. Because those weapons, no matter what, we can talk of these cases, those weapons are still then finding their way easily into that province, particularly within the taxi wars. Now, when I look at this particular level of the statistics, to me, it would be very much worrisome in that particular province, because the conflict, the taxi conflicts that are going, are solely fueled by those illegal firearms that find their way from Mozambique largely into the province. Again, my concern will go again to the question of Western Cape. In Western Cape, I think I've seen even recently the deputy minister meeting here, whereby even children were just with very huge operations, which tells you that these gangsters are just at liberty to kill here in these townships here of the Western Cape. Now, even only if one looks at the statistics of 000, when these people are actually running amok the way they are, I don't know whether then you are actually revisiting the capacity of the organization in the province of Western Cape. I think I will end there for now, Chairperson. But my main worry is about concreteness of the structures, to say, in terms of command and control, and right from national moving down. Because if then we don't have the effective structure, it will be very, very, almost near impossible to have effective output. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, let me start off by saying I'm not sure, you know, in some parts of your presentation you're talking about first quarter report and things, but I see when you gave us national stats here, you are going for 13 months from the 1st of March 2016 to 31st of March 2017. I don't know why you haven't gone on a full year rather than 13 months anyway, because the other one you are giving us quarterly. So but Jeff, you know, if you really look at the statistics, for me, there's nothing we've succeeded in here. Really, to be honest with you, I, from what I can see, the performance is dismal, there's no doubt about it. Now, let us be mindful of something else. That if we talk about the convictions you're talking about are convictions of arrest that may have been made previously, then it looks like that there might have been no convictions of any arrests of this year. So the question that one needs to ask, what is the challenges is SAPS facing in terms of arrest and the delay in having these people brought to court and convicted? Because obviously you got the stuff, you found them, you've arrested them with the stuff. Why is there such a long delay, if there is? But we must also be mindful of something else. The stats you're giving us is what arrests you made in this financial year. You're giving us convictions of not only in this year, but convictions that might have been arrested in the previous year. Now, it's difficult to gauge your success if we don't have the stats of how many outstanding cases you got and why are they outstanding for what long periods of time. So I think for us, it's very, very important to have that. But if we take what you're giving us here, then clearly it shows that the conviction rate based on your arrest per year is very poor, very, very poor. So I think it comes back to what my colleague, we need to ask the question why. Now I want to specifically talk about the Western Cape. I don't know if we know and understand what life is like in the Cape Flats in the Western Cape. I really don't believe we understand what how serious the problem is. I mean, I've got videos here if someone wants to spend some time with me, and I'll show you the videos of how people are running at all angles as soon as they are hearing the gunshot. There's so much of firearms, and I must agree with Chair. In the Western Cape alone, it's one of the most serious problems in terms of fire and come from the Western Cape. But the performance is the worst in the Western Cape. So for me, that is a serious challenge. The question that we need to ask, whatever we're doing is clear. It's not working. Really, it's not working. Let us be honest about it. It's not working. The question is, what are we going to do differently? Because all these structures that we can put in, we can capacitate them with another 5 and 10. Something different and drastic needs to be done to clear. Now, and I'm going to ask another very open question. It is clear that SAPS itself does not have the capacity, and for different reasons. It might not only be a SAPS problem. It's a socio-economic problem. We understand that. It is corruption in the police force and on the ground is a problem. Police officers are scared. They are threatened. They are intimidated. That's another problem, so they can't come forward. We've agreed and understood that you can't tell us who the culprits are in the townships if your police station is there for 50 and 60 years. Your drug dealers, your fire, we know all these things. And police must know them. Now, would we at any time in the future consider bringing in the defense force to assist the police, to go out into these townships? Now, this has been brought up before. And the explanation we get is, we don't want to send the wrong message to the outside world. The outside world is already, everybody you call overseas, oh, we don't want to come to South Africa, the crime rate is too high. So they've already got this negative perception. The question is, will we consider putting our people first than everything else and bringing in and getting that support so you can work together with SAPS and being able to go out there and clean the township? So the next question I have is, there needs to be a re-look about the issues of firearms, because firearms is becoming a serious challenge in the country. And, you know, whilst we have business trying to promote it, our people are dying every day. And I think we need to. So I'd like you to comment in terms of and tell us, what do you believe is the challenges with firearms? Because my understanding is, and I may be wrong, most illegal firearms have been legal at some stage, because people are being held up and those firearms are becoming illegal, and that's when people... So I would rather... I'll stop there for now, Chair, and give my colleagues a chance.
About just one issue, I think you touched on, maybe General Kruse, you are here as representative of the Acting National Commissioner, the issue of the firearms amnesty. We need clearly need an update on that. I know there were some developments at the NCOP committee, but we haven't had any submissions... Again, after we sent SAPS back on that one. And I'm just concerned, the year is running out, and it's 3 months since SAPS came to the committee. So what is the reason for the delay? If we can just get clarity on that. Honorable Groenewald.
Thank you, Chair. Let me just put on record that I differ from my colleague here on my right-hand side. The problem is not legal firearms. The problem is illegal firearms. People need firearms to protect themselves. Because with great respect, it's quite clear that the police cannot protect the people. And I want to add my voice to the conviction rate, Chairperson. If we look at the figures for the previous financial year, then we see we have a conviction, if we take the totals of 154 arrests and a total of 16 convictions, that's 9%. Now, if we even add that say some of these convictions were previous or arrests from the previous financial year is even lower for that year. And I can't understand, Chairperson, if you arrest a person for the possession of an illegal firearm, there's an illegal firearm. It's there. Did it disappear in the meantime between the arrest and the conviction? Say, how is it possible that you can arrest a person for the possession of an illegal firearm, but there's no conviction? Make it 9% then. I don't understand. Can we please have a clear explanation on that issue? Or else it seems there were a lot of unlawful arrests, and I suppose then there are some more actions against the police. The second, Chairperson, I think most of the questions has been asked. On the repossession, this financial year's quarter, you refer to 6 assault rifles. You give each and every category of the illegal firearms, but you don't give it for the previous financial year. Can we get it? You just, for instance, it's on your slide 11, you say firearms 1,980. The firearms consist of assault rifles, pistols, revolvers, rifles and shotguns. How many assault rifles? How many pistols? And then I also want to know on the assault rifles, what type of assault rifles are we talking here? How many AK-47s? How many R5s? R4s? Okay, AK-47s I suppose belongs to whoever. I heard that once that my honourable colleague referred to 50 rand a firearm. I once read in the newspaper a bottle of brandy will do for an AK-47. And if it's, for instance, R4s, R5s, where do they originate from? Defence force? The police itself? Because not everyone can own an assault rifle. So I will stay with those questions. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Professor. And then Honourable Markie, the last one. Then we'll go to the responses.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. But I've been largely covered by the questions from colleagues before me. My main concern, when I look at the aim of establishing the units, the report says it was to enhance the fight against drugs and proliferation of illegal firearms. Now, I would like to know from SEPS whether we are winning the war. I'm aware that these are newly established units, so there isn't much of history. But are we winning the war? If we aren't, what should happen for us to win the war? Because it cannot continue like this. People live in fear. People die like flies. Something has to happen. What should happen to make these units really successful? Because in the report, we are getting the statements which says successes, successes, successes. But when we look at the outcomes, I don't see them as successes. So was the establishment of the unit an answer to the problem confronting this country, the problem of violent crimes? Thank you.
Markie, you'll be the last. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, Chairperson. Just one question from my side. My understanding of what the President said was that 2 units are going to be established. I'm getting a bit confused when I look at the organogram here. I can't clearly delineate or are there 2 units here and how are they structured?
I can see the section commanders, it's firearms and explosives. There are three. I don't know how that is supposed to be. Are there two units here or is it one dealing with everything? Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you. Before we go to the responses, I also see, apart from Commissioner Gaum from the Human Rights Commission, also Commissioner Chris Nissen. Welcome also to the Chapter 9 institutions. It's good when they also attend parliamentary committees. It's good to see. You're welcome. Let's go then, General, to the responses.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. As I indicated, there are some of the questions I will be able to respond to. The Brigadier that is directly responsible for the section will then respond to those areas that because that is where the domain knowledge is, as I'm representing the General Adwaba. You know, so I don't want to mislead the committee by guesswork. I want those that are directly responsible to speak to some of these matters. Mr. Chairperson, with regard to the establishment of this particular unit, as I indicated, that the members that has been deployed into these units are existing members that were drawn from present capacities, meaning also that those capacities are also impacted on by, you know, taking from Peter to pay Paul. You know, so that is a challenge, and if one looks at, there are 9 declared priority offences that the DPCI is currently focusing on, and that could also, just to answer your question, Honourable Member, the units, the capacity has been established, but because of the structure, and I'll explain. The labor had a problem with the consultation process. I think it was within the, I speak under degree, I think it was in the SEPS environment, PSS, I think. Then all the implementation of structures were then halted until there's a proper consultation with labor, you know, so that they have input into that particular aspect. So therefore, we couldn't advertise posts and get the required competencies into those posts. So that presented us with a dilemma that we need to. It was the president made a commitment and we made a commitment to the president that we will capacitate those units, and currently those units are being staffed by current members. So once we have the structure has been approved, it means that we can then advertise posts, and all the members that are performing in those posts, obviously it will be retained, but then new members can be added with the requisite competencies to make that work. And I think that also answers the question, by the Honourable Professor, that we are not, if we are sitting, we are not winning the war. You know, we are not. And it will require, you know, if organized crime operates in networks, it also becomes incumbent on us to respond as a network. You know, to me, that means that all our resources need to be integrated into one entity with the various capabilities, and we are working towards that in terms of SEPS. You know, we are. So that collaboration and that...
General, can I just stop you there? You know, I become very despondent if I hear a senior officer in the DPCI say we're not winning the war. That is totally unacceptable. Our focus should be we must ensure that we deal with crime. We must have the capacity, we must have the confidence to do them. If we say that, I mean, really, then we've got a problem. Maybe just to come back to your further two responses. So you're actually saying there's still an interim structure. because the labor issues haven't been solved. Yeah. Is that what you say?
Yeah.
So, I mean, then the unit isn't established really in terms of a separate unit at this stage, if the post must still be advertised.
Yes, we do have capacity. We have placed people there to actually execute.
No, but it's interim. I mean, it's not permanent post. They're not permanently placed. Yeah. I mean, that's the answer we're looking for. I mean, that we can at least know what is the status. Yes, Honourable Mulabas.
The pace that they are moving on is very worrisome. People are dying with firearms outside here. Daily, people are dying with firearms. But the pace, that slow pace is very worrisome.
I take note of the comments and the concern. You know, I do, Honourable Chair, I do have the confidence that we can deal with it. But it requires the will and the coordination and the effort of all concerned, which includes, you know, finalizing the structure and getting the right people in those places.
General, how long is this labor issue now pending? and is it coming from the previous head of the DPCI's time? I just want to get a sense of the timelines, because, I mean, from the committee side, the previous presentation that we've got in terms of progress in March indicated that we are near finalization, things are running, and now we get a different picture that is actually still the same. It's still the status quo. It's still members are so-called borrowed because they're not permanently placed. I mean, that is what you actually say. And our need is that thing must be up and running. They must be. So what is the when? Since when is the labor issues on the table? I just want to get a sense.
Yeah. Yes. This is very essential because, I mean, well, the officer is actually, at least he's honest. We are losing the war. It's as simple as that. Because the people feel it and they see it if they move in the communities. But, you know, Chairperson, it's how many times that decisions were taken at this committee, that SAFs come to us, in this specific instance at DPCI, saying, but this is going to happen. But then it does not happen. And Chairperson, some other time, we as a committee will have to take serious decisions, that certain actions be taken against those officers coming to this committee, making some commitments on dates. So can we also ask that we get specific dates, not in the near future, but specific dates when it will be implemented. Thank you, Chair.
I mean, those indications are in the BRRR resolutions, but General, can you just respond to the labour issues? I just want to know the timeline.
General, as I indicated, I don't have all of that information with me, as I'm not part of that particular unit. But what I can indicate that I think it was a month or two ago when there was a labor dispute between the SAPs and the union and labor around the structures and the implementation of structures within a particular division within the SAPs. Therefore, there was a blanket decision that certain divisions within SAPs will meet with labor so that they can iron out this particular the problems. The specifics I do not have. I don't know if my colleagues have that. But the specifics I don't...
Well, then we're not going ahead with this presentation. We're not. I mean, if you come to Parliament, you must be properly briefed on all the issues. I'm going to close this meeting in terms of this issue. You will have to come. When is General Matakata back in the country?
Next week, the General will be back, and General Dwaba as well.
Yeah, I think, members, it's not going to be productive. I just want to get your views on all...
Which means they are not well prepared, because the general tell us that he is not part. Who is part of this? And when are they going to implement this? Because it's really a year now. They are still with the interim structure. It's wrong, Chairperson. They must go back and ask General Matawata and Lidwaba to come to the portfolio committee, because they don't take us serious, Chairperson, really, really. Because if we can ask questions, they can't answer. What are we here for? Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable Mabija, then Honourable Mshaik, and Honourable Grunewald, and Honourable Bailey.
I'm just disappointed, highly disappointed, because had we known, we wouldn't even allow DPCI to make a presentation, because this is equals to zero. It's equals to zero. You are not even supposed to be presenting, because you are not competent to give us cogent facts that will make us feel comfortable that DPCI is really working. So we just wasted our time. I'm very sorry we didn't diagnose it well before we started. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I want to concur with my colleagues. You know, now it is quite clear why we can't win the war. We're nowhere near winning this war. Actually, we're losing the war, because the problem is, you could see, we're not even getting the answers. With due respect to my colleague General here, I think he's being honest in telling us what the situation is. However, we need all the facts, and everyone responsible to provide that facts here. And surely we could expect these questions are going to come up, because if what is hampering your progress is the labor, one must expect us to ask those questions. But having said that, Chair, I want to make certain requests that when we do appear the next time, I would like to be told in ABC language exactly what the challenges are and exactly what you need to do to get in control of the situation, be it labor, be it a particular officer, be it whatever it is. Come to us and tell us in ABC language so that we can work together with it and find solutions. So that's the first thing, Chair. Chair, the second thing is that I would like to hear at the next presentation, how many of these firearms that you have confiscated or based on this arrest were firearms that were stolen from police stations or from police officers, and what crimes were committed with those firearms, and whether there's been any link when you arrested those criminals with these firearms. And I don't know whether you ever have this process of vetting from time to time to be able to see whether police officers have some contact with certain criminals. I don't know what system you have and whether you do. My understanding is if you want success, you're going to have to do all those things there. Whether there's any link between what you've got and officers, like if it was stolen, I would give you an example from Hanover Park Police Station, whether there's any link, if you got it from a particular criminal who's a known criminal, is there a link between him and any other officers from your police station? I'd like you to give us that stats and tell us, but more importantly, how many of those firearms stolen from SAPS, whether police station or individually, were used in committing any crime in the country? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I will support you to say that we stop the presentation, our Chairperson, and that they come back and give us proper answers. But Chairperson, I think we must also say that even in the future, doesn't matter which division is coming here to give some or other presentation, that I always hear about challenges. And I know a challenge is a nice word for a problem. A severe challenge is a nice word for a critical problem. Yes, General, you may laugh. That is true. And in future, if we hear about the problems, we will also want to have the solution, how it is going to be solved. It's no use coming here and say we have this challenge and this problem or whatever the case may be. We also want to hear the solutions, because really, Chairperson, crime outside is severe. The people of South Africa, and I suppose within a month or a couple of weeks, we're going to get the new crime statistics and everything. People are questioning those statistics. And it's fair that they can question it. Because what the figures say in one side and what the people experience is a different story. So please, Chairperson, we also want the solutions with specific dates, not just in future. Thank you.
Honourable Bailey. Thank you, Chair. I mean, I am quite mindful of the fact that the DPCI is emerging from a difficult period of being under deeply compromised leadership and mismanagement. So I'm sympathetic to the colleagues who are kind of piecing things together and having to clean up a mess of a legacy. I would have liked to find out if we are able to get any clear and concrete answers to some of the questions. I understand some of them are difficult to answer now. So if I'm happy to go with the majority sentiments of the committee to shut the meeting down now, but I would have liked to at least salvage what we can of the meeting by getting some clear answers, if we can get them from some of the questions. But I think I just wanted to kind of acknowledge the larger context and the recent history, that we can't necessarily expect people in the here and now to operate optimally when they've been greatly hamstrung, greatly constrained, and really operating in quite a toxic environment without able and competent leadership. And they're now just trying to get things back on their feet. Thanks, Chair.
Any other member? Honourable Babija.
Chairperson, I should think it will be fair to us as members to just stop this meeting, because we cannot expect any further clarifying answers where we are told we are losing the war. So even the answers that will come from him, I don't have trust in them. I feel what has happened today must never happen again. If we must think of the Batupele principles, value for money, we go to work at the month end, we get our salaries, but there's nothing going on that assists our communities crime wise. So let's just pause, Chairperson. For the sake of some of us, we don't want to go berserk in here.
Right, thanks, members. General Cruz, you've got something to add?
Chair, maybe to say we were given the task as management intervention to look at the issue of firearms broadly by the previous acting and also this acting, specifically around the Western Cape problem after the two generals were removed from their posts and that project came to end. So we have gone through a process of salvaging that project. And part of what we've done after our investigation and developing the firearm strategy was, because also we think the capacity of the orcs are DPCI is very limited when you look at numbers. And also the way the police operate, that we need to incorporate that into one approach to dealing with the issue of firearms. And we have established the National Firearms Task Team, which will be at national level in the Operational Command Center and all the provincial levels itself. The first one has been finalized in the Western Cape. We have taken the Project IMPI approach, the previous approach. Those members have been incorporated under the leadership of General Matakata to run the firearm projects in Western Cape to continue in terms of the project they were busy with and also new, which will ensure that every firearm, for instance, in the Western Cape will not have a DPCI firearm and a police firearm. If a firearm is captured, DPCI must ensure that firearm goes through the proper tracing process, proper forensic process. So we've developed a whole action plan together with DPCI and the police. We'll have one unit which will deal with this issue itself. It will be integrated itself. It will give effect to the firearm strategy which we have developed and revived again with some changes. We will bring into those units the DTI, DPCI detectives?
General Kruiser, is that part of the presentation that was supposed to be presented today?
Yeah. Well, this is what we have agreement with. I don't know what they presented. Remember, DPCI, but this is what we have done so far. I think from tomorrow we establish one in the Eastern Cape. We have a plan to establish one in every province. So there is work being done to establish.
Both SAPS and DPCI must come back. General Matakata, General Dawaba, and SAPS must come back with a full presentation on the issues the members raised, and then we will consider it. But I think from the Portfolio Committee side, as a parting shot, we do not accept any position that we are fighting or that we're losing the fight against crime. We must win the war against crime. We must win it. And we're spending 87 billion rand of taxpayers' money on that effort. It's the second highest budget item in government. More than 12% of the national budget is going to SAPS and the DPCI. SAPS has got 193,000 members, including the DPCI. We must have the commitment to do it. We need the leadership. And maybe the issue of leadership is an issue. We, as the committee said, we need to fill the position of the National Commissioner as soon as possible. We need to fill the position of the head of the DPCI as soon as possible. Because we saw it in KZN, acting positions doesn't help. We need permanent people in place that can lead with the confidence and also tell our people we will win the fight against crime. That's critical. There is enough talented police officers in the South African Police Service that we as a committee met. I made example in KZN. From the specialized units, there was four colonels and one brigadier. Excellent. I'll bring those people in. Let them run the show, deal with the issues, fight crime. They're willing to do it. That's what we want. And we need committed people. There's thousands of people that's committed in SAPS that wants to win the war against crime. And as the Portfolio Committee, we will support that approach. But we can't come with half-baked solutions, half-baked presentations, and with no real energy to fight crime. We need energy to fight crime. We need also all communities on board. So that's going to be our approach. So we'll need, in the next 2 weeks, SAPS and DPCI to come back. Honourable members, then tomorrow at 9 o'clock, we're going to start with the minutes and reports. Then at 10:30, the Acting National Commissioner plus, and SAPS must ensure, the head of County Intelligence must be here, no apologies, to deal with the issue of vetting of the head of crime intelligence, and then of course we will also deal with the issue of SAPS support to DPCI in terms of the security measures later in the morning. Thank you very much. The meeting is closed.